I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. Most people remember Jack Parr as being the predecessor of Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show. But before television, Jack Parr had spent many years in radio. He was a radio DJ in the 1930s, working at stations in Detroit, Indianapolis, Cleveland, and Buffalo. He was drafted when World War II began, and he was sent to entertain the troops in the South Pacific. Jack Benny, who also performed for the military, saw Parr's work and was impressed. After the war ended, Parr had minor roles in network radio. He got his big break when Jack Benny hired him as Benny's summer replacement in 1947. The Jack Parr Show was on the air from June through September 1947. In the episode we're going to hear, Parr holds a talent contest to find someone to take over the show when the new season starts in the fall. There are three contestants, and the third one is Jack Benny. Benny is hilarious as he demonstrates his talent, or maybe his lack of talent, by reciting all of the stock lines from his radio show. And on a personal note, I have a particular soft spot for this episode because it was originally broadcast on the day I was born, August 17, 1947.
The Jack Parr Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
American.
Fine tobacco is what counts in the cigarette, and
LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, year after year.
LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed. So free and easy on the draw.
From Hollywood, Lucky Strike presents the Jack Parr Program with Trudy Irwin, Jerry Fielding in the orchestra, yours truly, Hi Averback, and starring America's new young humorist, Jack Parr, with a special guest tonight, Jack Benny.
Thank you very much. This is Jack Parr. Hello, and a special note to the F.E. Boone Fan Club in Lexington, Kentucky. Don't be impatient. F.E. will be back in 11 minutes. Well, Hollywood is all excited because Margaret Truman is giving a concert here next week. They say her father taught her to sing the scale like this. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, vi, to. Another interesting item from Hollywood this week is that a famous actress is going to remarry her first husband. It must be his turn again. Another actor got confused this week and he proposed to his own wife. This confused her so much that she accepted him. Now they have to get a divorce so they can go through with it.
Jack, aren't you going to say anything about Great Britain placing a 75% tax on American films?
Yes, I've been worrying about that. So I've invited to the studio today a typical British moviegoer who's in this country on a special mission. He's been brought here to breathe on C. Aubrey Smith's monocle. His is the only breath containing Windex. Good evening, sir. Your name?
J. Arthur Faversham III. My father, you see, was J. Arthur Faversham II.
Who, may I ask, was J. Arthur Faversham I?
My mother. She passed away several months ago. It was the Prime Minister's fault.
The Prime Minister's fault?
Yes, you see, he was addressing the Empire on the wireless, and when he concluded, he said, "Chin up, everybody." That was fatal to Mother.
But why?
She was under the sink at the time.
I'm terribly sorry.
No matter. The drain is open again.
I do admire the way you British carry on. Tell me, will you miss American pictures?
Well, I don't care much for your pictures, but dash it all, I hope you continue to send that Lend-Lease popcorn.
If things are so difficult over there in England, why don't you all move to California?
Gad, we have the very same idea. In fact, before I left home, the Prime Minister was putting a giant propeller on one end of England. We're pulling up anchor.
But what if you can't squeeze the island through the Panama Canal?
Heavens to Bevan, sir, we'll force it through.
In that case, there will always be a long, thin England. In the absence of Lily Pons and Andre Castellanos' orchestra, who are not here much anyway, we turn to our young musical stars, Trudy Irwin and Jerry Fielding. Jerry's the one with the long hair. Trudy is the girl that she has to be a girl because, you see, all her clothes are made that way. And now a hush comes over the audience. The spotlight falls on Trudy Irwin. She gets up, brushes herself off, and sings Just One of Those Things.
It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy flings, one of those bells that now and then ring, just one of those things. It was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer wings. Just one of those things. If we thought a bit of the end of it when we started painting the town, we'd have been aware that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear, and amen. Here's hoping we'll meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things. Painting the town, we'd have been aware that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear, and amen. Here's hoping we'll meet once again. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things.
Little-known people who mean absolutely nothing.
Friends, the world is full of little-known people. Perhaps you haven't given it much thought. Do you realize how little-known some people are? For instance, there's the man who reads the gas meters of the man who reads the gas meters. Another little-known is George, the third Smith brother, who was later cut off without a drop. Another anonymous little man is Rudolph R. Rudolph, who hopped around the world in 734 days. No plane, he just hopped. Tonight we have with us someone of this type, a girl, or I should say a lady tree surgeon, Mrs. John W. Grummel. It is Mrs. Grummel, isn't it?
Yes, but I just got a divorce.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't...
My husband tried to get something on me. He hired a private eye.
Well, I think we...
I shot it out.
That's all very interesting, Mrs. Grummel, but we'd like to hear about your career as a tree surgeon. How did you happen to take up that work?
Well, I kind of inherited it. My first husband was a tree surgeon. He got killed by a falling patient.
That was unfortunate, wasn't it?
Well, that's nothing. My second husband was killed by a falling tree. My third husband was killed by a falling tree, and so was my fourth husband. But my fifth husband died natural. He died in bed.
He did?
Yes, a tree fell on him.
A bad case of lumber in his slumber, huh? Tell me, Mrs. Drommel, I suppose being a tree surgeon requires a large amount of education.
Oh, yes. After leaving grammar school.
Go on.
That's all. Of course, we have 2 weeks of pre-med, then 1 week of med. Oh, I'll never forget the day I graduated a full-fledged tree surgeon. My, I was proud when the dean handed me my diploma and a pair of bloomers.
Did your training as a tree surgeon end then?
Oh, no, I interned at Berry Wood. You know, but I sometimes wonder if it's worth it. I'm just worn out today. I was up all night delivering an avocado.
Oh, boy or girl?
Did you ever see an avocado?
Mrs. Drommel, you've done wonderful things with trees. I understand you were the first one to put bath mats under weeping willows.
Well, thank you. But the case that I'm most famous for in my own little-known way is the case that I like to call the case of the giant redwood.
Up in Sequoia National Forest, huh?
Yes. You've seen the enormous tree with the highway running right through the middle of the tree?
Yes, yes, I think we all have. Did you perform an operation on that tree?
Yes, a very delicate operation. I had to use 14 pounds of Jergens lotion. It was a removal operation.
You used 14 pounds of Jergens lotion?
Yes, I had to soften up two Buicks.
This has certainly been an interesting discussion, Mrs. Drommel. You must come back next summer. Is there some place we can contact you?
Oh, yes. I'm doing a local job now, a plastic surgery over in Griffith Park.
Plastic surgery on a tree?
Oh, yes, on lots of trees. I'm removing the penknife marks. You know, almost every tree in Griffith Park has a heart with an arrow through it, and Joe loves Mabel, or Joe loves Gertrude, or Joe loves Emmergene, or Joe loves Mary, Joe loves Ruthie, Joe loves Tuss, Joe will. Anyway, I expect to be in Griffith Park for a long time, for months and months.
You mean the work will take that long?
No, I just met Joe.
Thank you, and good night.
Lucky Strike presents The Man Who Knows, the independent tobacco expert who knows from his own experience at the auctions what kind of tobacco is bought by the makers of Lucky Strike. Lucky Strike presents The Man Who Knows, the tobacco buyer.
Mr. Fred Evans of Danville, Virginia, has bought tobacco leaf at more than 3,000 different tobacco auctions. Recently, he stated,
year after year, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy fine quality leaf. That fine, ripe, mellow tobacco you can't beat for top smoking quality. Smoked Lucky's myself for 19 years.
Yes, the man who knows. Experts like Mr. Evans can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco. Remember,
LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, and fine tobacco means real deep down smoking enjoyment for you.
So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Friends, as you know, I am a summer replacement. A summer replacement is a fellow who broadcasts during the hot weather to give the other actors time to count the money they've made all winter. Frankly, I'm a little worried because my brief summer career is coming to an end. Radio's getting ready for the winter again. Edgar Bergen is repainting Charlie McCarthy. Fibber McGee is waxing Harlow Wilcox. And Phil Harris has switched to antifreeze with an olive.
Well, look, I'm not trying to worry you, Jack, but let's consider who's going to replace us. You know, we've done good shows. We're not failures. How can you be a failure? You're only 29.
Hi, we won't be failures for another 10 years yet. But that's radio. The summer's running out and our leaves are getting brown. Think how I feel. I thought I was a success. I have everything a young man wants. Fame, fortune, suede shoes.
But, Jack...
Let it go. Be optimistic, you know.
Jack, who's going to replace us? Lum and Abner have had their chance.
It's cruel, High, I know, but there's one good sign. Amateur hours are coming back. Fresh new talent will arise. Tonight we're going to give three young hopefuls a chance. The winner will be our winter replacement. Who knows? We may discover a new Phil Baker.
Oh, that's just grand. Well, Jack, here is our first discovery. Step this way, miss.
Good evening, miss. Your name is Griselda Furpo. Are you here to audition for our winter replacement?
Would I be here if this was in a sanctum?
Well, come to think of it, that veil does look a little like a cobweb. I presume you've had some experience in show business.
Certainly. I was with a USO troop in Japan.
Japan? How long were you there?
Until the Americans arrived. It so happens I'm a singing midget.
Aren't you a little tall for a midget?
I'm standing on my sister.
Well, if you don't mind, you're not very attractive.
I don't mind. My sister's on top this week.
Well, what are you going to do for us tonight?
Well, if my sister Tangerine will jump down and go to the piano, I'll sing. Hey, Tangerine, jump already. Arpeggio, please. Loving you meant only heartache. Your kiss was such a sacred thing to me. I can't believe it's just a burning memory. Heartache. Why does it matter how my heart breaks? I should be happy with someone new. But my heart aches for you, a rickety-tickety.
Thank you, Furpo sisters. Stand by until the end of the program when the audience applause will decide the winner. Our second contestant in our talent search is a man here wearing the long black coat with a birdcage in his hand. Good evening, sir. What is your name?
Bonsoir, mon ami. My name is Monsieur Rudy Lapay, the magician.
You're French, aren't you?
L'enfant enfant de la patrie, le jeu de gloire arrivait. English translation, oui.
Well, we're glad to have you here in America. Incidentally, is it true what they say about those French bathing suits? I mean, what are they like?
Oh, they are very simple. You just take two handkerchiefs and throw one away.
I see, but you said you were a magician.
Oh, but oui. I do card tricks with mice.
Maybe I was listening wrong. Did you say you do card tricks with mice?
Yes. Here, pick him out.
Pick a mouse. No, no, Rudy. You can't do that on the radio. Look, don't you do any of the conventional magician's tricks, like maybe sawing a woman in half?
Oh, but, monsieur, I shall never saw a woman in half again. I was never so humiliated. I was on the stage of the Orpheum Theater, you see?
You mean something went wrong with the trick?
Oh, yes. I don't know how it happened, but I was sawing this woman in half when all of a sudden I heard... bloop, 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 bloop.
Poor Simone, Simone.
But I have a trick for which I'm famous. Look, I take half a dollar from your nose. See?
Gee, I wish I'd known that this morning. I needed some change. Now, what else do you do?
Surprising as it may seem, I'm also a great hypnotist.
That's fine for the radio. Hypnotism.
Oh, yes. Look, I do it to you. Abba-dabba, sleep. Abba-dabba, sleep. Abba-dabba, sleep.
Gee, it really works.
It does?
Yeah, my abba-dabba is asleep. Thank you, monsieur. Please stand by for the decision of the audience. Now, here's our last contestant in our talent hunt for a winter replacement. Your name, sir?
Benny, Jack Benny.
No favoritism, please. Now, Mr. Benny, have you ever had any experience on the radio before?
Why, yes. In fact, I worked up on the radio up until 12 weeks ago.
Oh, and what have you been doing for the past 12 weeks?
Collecting unemployment insurance.
Tell me, Mr. Benny, these days of inflated prices, they worry me. Isn't it rather difficult to live on $20?
Yes, it's become almost impossible for me to save more than $12 a week. I had to close up the left wing of our house. Unfortunately, Mary's mother was in it at the time.
Mr. Benny, what can you do?
Well, here's my business card.
Do you mind if I unfold it?
Please do.
All right. Jack Benny, comedian and violin virtuoso. Violin selections provided for private parties and weddings, formerly with Phil Spitalny. Mr. Benny, were you really with Phil Spitalny?
Yes, until my voice changed. That was about 6 years ago. I finally left the orchestra with spite work or something, that Evelyn and her magic violin. You know, she just held hers. I had to play mine. But, Mr. Parr, you haven't finished reading my card yet.
Oh, yes. Can provide violin music for junior proms, birthday parties, taffy pulls, banquets, and anniversaries.
Oh, turn it over. There's more on the other side.
Oh, yes. Also, I'm being considered to accompany Margaret Truman at the Hollywood Bowl.
It's a cinch, you know, if she sings Love and Bloom.
Now, Mr. Benny, you said you were on the radio. Were you a contestant?
No, I was an entertainer. You see, many years ago, I started my career as a comedian in vaudeville. I knew I was a comedian because all my clothes were made that way.
And from vaudeville, you went into radio.
Yes, and I'll never forget those early days of broadcasting. Mr. Parr, maybe you heard one of my first shows.
I probably did. Which one were you, Mert or Marge?
No, Mr. Parr.
He's ad-libbing.
I was the original Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
When you were a boy, we didn't have all of America.
Wait till you hear my next line. We did too.
Mr. Benny, you mentioned a few minutes ago that up until the last 12 weeks you were working on the radio. What type of show did you do?
Well, if you've ever heard me on the air, you'd realize I'm one of the funniest men in radio. And to prove it, I brought over a script to one of my shows. I was just great.
All right, Mr. Benny, you read your part and I'll read the other roles.
Oh, there are no other roles in this. I just typed up the part I did on the show. Now listen. Thank you, Don. Well, hello, Mary. Phil, you've got to do something about that band. Sing, Dennis. Rochester, answer the door.
Yay!
Well, what do you know? It's Ronnie and Benita. But we're a little late, so good night, folks.
And Mr. Benny, that is the mirth-quaking humor you did on the radio.
Yes, sir.
Well, maybe you'd better play the violin for us.
Just a second till I get it. 1 second. All right, let's go.
Mr. Benny, that's quite an expensive-looking violin you have there, huh?
It is, but I'm even prouder of the bow. You see, most bows are made of horsehair. This one comes from Lassie.
I thought it was an awfully short bow. Now, suppose you start.
Oh, just a minute. I want a rosin. I want a rosin, my bow, here.
Oh, by all means, do. Why be half safe?
Ready, now, I brought my own, I try to talk in so you wouldn't get such a big laugh. I brought my own, I brought my own piano accompanist, Jose. Give me A, will you? That's close enough. Intermezzo, intermezzo, please. You don't do that fast, you're dead, you know. Why Spitali let me go and kept Evelyn, I'll never know. And now for a faster number.
That's enough, Mr. Benny. Mr. Benny, you can stop now. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute!
Something wrong?
Yes, Mr. Benny, I don't feel you're quite ready yet.
But, Mr. Parr, you haven't given me a fair chance.
I'm sorry, Mr. Benny, but you're wasting my time.
Look, kid. Your time is my time.
Mr. Benny, stand by for the decision of the audience. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard our three contestants. Now, as I put my hand over each contestant's head, the studio audience will applaud, indicating their favorites. First, I have my hand over the Furpo sister. Now I have my hand over Rudy LaPay, the magician.
Abba-dabba, abba-dabba, abba-dabba.
And finally, we have the violinist, Jack Benny.
Are you sure your hand is over my head?
Yes.
You're positive your hand is over my head.
Certainly, I have it right over your...
Uh-oh. What's the matter?
It's under your toupee.
Well, what do you know?
Jack Parr will be back in just a moment. But first, Lucky Strike presents The Man Who Knows.
American.
The Man Who Knows, the tobacco auctioneer.
Mr. James Monroe Ball, ace tobacco auctioneer of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, said not long ago,
season after season, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy fine mellow leaf, tobacco that makes a swell smoke.
The Man Who Knows, the tobacco buyer.
Mr. Carl Hartfield, well-known tobacco buyer from Greensburg, Kentucky, recently said,
at auction after auction, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy fine tobacco, ripe, prime leaf. I've smoked Lucky's for over 28 years.
And so it goes with the man who knows, the tobacco expert. Remember, fine tobacco is what counts in a cigarette. And
L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
So for your own real deep-down smoking enjoyment, smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the air.
Tune in next week to the Jack Parr Show with Trudy Irwin, the outstanding Paige Cavanaugh Trio, Jerry Fielding in the orchestra, yours truly, Hi Averback, and Jack Parr.
Oh, Mr. Benny. Yes. We just took a secret ballot, and you've been elected to be our winter replacement. Well, I knew it all along.
But, Jack, I'm a little worried. You're not going to play your violin or tell jokes, are you?
Oh, no, no. I've got something brand new up my sleeve. It's never been done before.
What is it?
Here, pick a mouse.
Good night, everybody.
Don't forget, friends, for the Thompson Radio Entertainment, set your dial to NBC Wednesday night for that thrilling newspaper drama, The Big Story. And on Saturday night, don't miss your hit parade with Martha Tilton, the Pied Pipers, and starring Andy Rosner.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Jack Benny's summer replacement, The Jack Parr Show, from August 17, 1947. Thanks for listening, and if you'd like to request your own favorite show, drop me a note at Dan, D-A-N, at radiofun.info, I-N-F-O. In the Old Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.